Like to call to order this special call meeting. Actually, it's not a special call meeting, it's a work session of the Board of Education. We have one item on the agenda tonight, and that's item for discussion, a line-by-line review of the budget. So I would need a motion to approve the agenda.
Move for approval.
Second.
Motion made by Ms. Agel, seconded by Mr. Stevens. Any comments or questions about the agenda? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion carries unanimously. Okay. Our objective is to get through the expenditure section of the budget, beginning, if I'm correct, on page 26, I believe. Somebody double-check me with that.
Yep.
Okay. And we'll finish the expenditure section. After that, if anyone has any additional questions that we haven't covered during this point, certainly feel free to ask them. If you have questions during the course of going through this, please stop me and let's ask the questions at that point in time. Having served on the board with most of you for an extended period of time, and knowing Mr. Stevens quite well, I know we all can read, so I'm not going to read every word on here, but I am going to pinpoint the sections, the expenses, and the sections. If you want more, then let me know. We start with regular instruction program. That's 71100. 116 is teachers. The proposed budget is $17,931,399.28. You can see through the teaching section with the advanced degrees, coaching and band supplements, elementary and secondary teachers, and the various programs that will be covered by teachers throughout the year. There's a change of $162,809. That's plus $162,809. The career ladder program, which is finally weaving its way to non-existence, but it's still there. That's a decrease in $36,303. Homebound instruction, there's no change. Educational assistance, an increase of $9,791. Other salaries and wages, an increase of $79,959. Substitute teachers, an increase of $5,228. You can see the benefit line items for this section. That's an increase of $542,939. Ms. Agel.
Okay, this is one that I have a question on. So why would the benefit line be double? How could the benefit line be 5 million and something when the line for substitutes is only 260,000? Or is that group of benefits applying to all teachers and all substitutes?
I believe that's all teachers and all substitutes.
Gotcha.
Other contracted services, which are associated with the Children's Museum, and a contingency of $10,000 for non-special education residential student placements, there's no change. Instructional supplies and materials, a decrease of $1,455. Textbooks, electronic, an increase of $297,537. Bound textbooks, a decrease of $8,193. Other supplies, an increase of $5,000. Other charges, which include the summer band program, decrease of $10,120. Instructional equipment, furniture in the buildings, no change. Regular instructional technology system-wide, a decrease of $157,200. For this section, the increase is $889,992, or 3.53%. Any questions on this section? Moving on, alternative schools, 71150, teachers, increase of 4,931. Career ladder program, increase 450. Secretary, an increase of 508. Educational assistants, increase of 1,475. Other salaries and wages, decrease of 1,548. Substitute teachers, increase of $3,200. Benefits section, an increase of $8,011. Travel, increase of $246. Other contracted services, no change. Instructional supplies and materials, increase of $1,004. Alternative schools equipment, no change. An increase in this line section, $18,277, or 2.85%. Any questions? Ms. McClain.
I wondered why the substitutes went up so much.
Basically, we have under budgeted in that line, and we've just had more substitutes than we've had the funds to pay for that, and we've had to transfer money from other accounts. So we're just trying to get that line equal to the current need. And let me add to that, is we don't necessarily promote poor attendance, but in the case of the alternative school, we had some long-term leaves this year. Similar problem at the preschool. So unfortunately, we just have some individuals with some physical needs that result in a long-term leave. And basically, we're just spending more money than we had in those accounts. So.
Moving on to special education, 71200, teachers, 105,212. Career ladder program, a decrease of 6,850. Homebound teachers, a decrease of 1,000. Educational assistants, a decrease of $711. Speech pathologist, a decrease in $56,865. Other salaries and wages, no change. Substitute teachers, a decrease of $5,000. Benefit line items, an increase of $87,333. Contracts with private agencies, an increase of $1,709. Instructional supplies and materials, an increase of $2,000. Special education equipment, decrease of $8,000. For a total increase of $117,828, 2.83%. Questions? I have one question on 7120171, speech pathologist. Did we lose somebody and then replace them with a lower paying, or did we just lose that position?
We basically did cut one position, and once again, Dr. Hebrar is just doing a good job at looking at current needs, and he felt this was a good staffing decision to basically reduce by one person. And then, as previously discussed, we were adding a 1.5 resource teachers between the three schools, and the money saved here will go to help support that, which is a greater need. So,
and I remember that when Dr. Borchers did his overview, but we didn't get to that detail.
Yes, sir.
All right, moving on. Technology Career Program 1300 teachers, increase in 25,181. Career ladder program, a decrease 4,145. Substitute teachers, no change. Benefit line items, increase of 19,071. Travel, no change. Instructional supplies and materials, a decrease 3,000. Vocational instruction equipment, no change, for a total change increase 32,158 or 2.54%. Questions? Moving on, instructional contingency. Other charges, instructional contingency, an increase of $446,116. Total for instructional contingency is that amount, or an increase of $446,116. Questions? Ms. McClain.
I had emailed Pat about what the instructional contingency was. If she could maybe just tell us a little bit, because I think that's a big amount to go up.
Okay, and as I explained to Laura today, we did increase it this year, and this is the amount, the $500,000 is for grant contingencies, and there's an offsetting revenue account for $500,000. They offset each other, and this is only used when we receive additional grants or donations, and it allows us to move the funds from there into that budget to cover those additional funds, and they are approved by the board before they're set up. So there is zero net increase.
Right, so there's an expenditure section and a revenue, so it's really zero.
They offset each other.
Okay, health services, 72120. Medical personnel, an increase of $10,020. Other salaries, an increase of $2,574. Substitutes for nurses, no change. Benefit package, increase of $13,967. Travel, increase of $1,000. Other contracted services, increase of $1,944. Other supplies and materials, increase of $11,861. Travel and staff development, an increase of $1,000, for an increase in these line items of $43,417. Questions? This would be a good place to point out that the wellness fair is this Wednesday, beginning at noon, I believe. At the Civic Center, certainly worth everyone's time stopping by if you have time to do that. Okay, other student support. The merit pay designated for the career ladder levels 1, 2, and 3, guidance personnel and psychologists, is a decrease of $3,500. Guidance personnel, increase of $24,803. Other salaries and wages, you can see that includes a number of items in that line item. That change is $32,202. Benefit package, increase of $27,953. Evaluation and testing, no change. Travel, no change. Materials, no, that's not there anymore. Other supplies and materials, an increase of $10,000. Other charges is a decrease of $94,410. Regular instruction, well, that's not there either. So total for other student support is a decrease of $8,951. Ms. Eagle.
Okay, the line 322, evaluation and testing, which is no change, but the cost is $37,500. Is that all for 10 Ready, or is that a combination of 10 Ready and other things?
That would be 10 Ready and other assessments. We have several assessments that require require costs, such as we have RTI assessments that require paper, quite a number of those, as a matter of fact. And then there are a lot of printing costs that go along with the TN Ready, even when it's online. So we do have printing costs that that we must incur every year so far.
Do we have an idea how much of that is actually for TN Ready?
I don't, but I can get that number for you before Wednesday if you'd like.
Is our testing contracted out, or do we do that ourselves? Not the 10 Ready, the other.
It's a combination. So I'm not sure what you mean by contracted out, but if you mean do we purchase some testing programs, we do. So for example, we have the STAR assessment that we use as a universal screener in elementary, middle, and high school. That does cost money, although that comes from a different line. We also are using the TE21 benchmark assessments in middle school. That also comes from a different line. This particular line doesn't pay for the software for testing. We also have, obviously teachers test in their classrooms, and we have common formative assessments that we develop on our own. So we have a combination of things that we do internally, and then we do partner with a couple of different organizations.
I guess I meant, do we get an outside entity to do the testing for us?
No, sir.
Good. Other questions? Instructional staff support, 72210, supervisor director, an increase of $6,618. Career ladder program, an increase of 1,000. Librarians, increase of 12,150. Curriculum and technology integration facilitators, increase of 6,153. Secretaries, increase of 851. Other salaries and wages, a decrease of 12,943. In-service training curriculum development, an increase of 22,916. Benefit package, increase of 33,239. Consultants, no change. Travel, an increase of 1,100. Curriculum materials, 5,385 increase. Library books and related media materials, increase 1,087. Periodicals, increase of $59. Other supplies and materials, an increase of $666. Travel and professional development, a decrease of $34,693. Other charges, decrease of $8,929. Total change is an increase of $34,658. Questions? Special education support supervisor, increase 1,522. Career ladder program, decrease 1,000. Psychological personnel, increase of 6,899. Secretaries, an increase of 3,879. Other salaries, an increase of 1,247. In-service training, a decrease of 10,000. Benefit package, increase of $12,321. Communication, a decrease of 500. Consultants, no change. Travel, a decrease of 2,000. Other contracted services, a decrease of 5,000. Other supplies and materials, no change. Travel, a decrease of 2,500 for a change increase, $4,867. Questions? Ms. Agle.
I know that we have a partnership with Ridgeview at two of our schools. Is there a charge for that, or is that a community service kind of thing? Well, I'm thinking it might be in this account, but I don't know where it would be exactly.
Let me ask Miles to come to the microphone, please. So just my understanding, there are no charges, but he can explain that. So.
At this time, there are no charges. This is being, this is in kind. The Willowbrook was the first one, and then they are in all the other schools except SCA, I believe, at this time. But this is in kind, and how they are paying for this is with the insurance money. So they're, each child, before they are served, they ask the parents for the insurance provider. After they see them initially, after the first time in an emergency situation, and then they will get the insurance provider, and then they will actually bill out the insurance. So that's how this is all in kind, and so they will bill the insurance for those fees, and that's how we're able to get those seven, and we're working towards an eighth. I've already met with them.
Thank you. I mean, that is an excellent service, and we're very fortunate to have that partnership.
Absolutely.
So thank you.
Technology career support, supervisor director, an increase of 2,077. Secretaries, an increase of 3,414. Benefit package, an increase of 11,986. Other supplies and materials, an increase of 2,000. In-service professional development, no change. Other charges, an increase of 4,170. For a change of an increase of $23,648 in these items. Questions? Technology services. Director supervisor, a decrease of $15,481. Technology personnel, a decrease of $10,032. Secretaries, increase of $70,651. Other salaries, an increase of 7,500. Benefit package, an increase of 57,037. Communication, an increase of 21,552. Consultants, no change. Data processing services, no change. Internet connectivity, an increase of $7,300. Travel, no change. Other contracted services, there's nothing in that line item. Data processing supplies, no change. Office supplies, no change. Cabling, no change. Software, increase 5,000. Travel staff development in service, an increase of 1,651. Administrative technology, no change. Technology motor vehicles, a decrease of $50,000 for a total change in these items, an increase of $95,178. Questions? Communications director supervisor, an increase of $48,833. Secretary, an increase of $19,842. Benefit package, an increase of 26,088. Other contracted services is an increase of 5,000. Other supplies and materials, an increase of 3,500. Travel and staff development in service, an increase of 3,000 for a total change of an increase of $106,262. Questions? Board of Education, following on the Dan DiGregorio philosophy, would like to point out this is not money that's coming to the Board of Education. This is money under the line item Board of Education that we are responsible for seeing that it is expended properly, as we are with all the other line items. Other salaries and wages, there's no change. That is us. That one line item right there is us. Benefit package, a decrease of $34,470. Audit services, a decrease of $9,100. Dues and memberships, an increase of $314. Legal services, no change. Other contracted services, a decrease of $48,000. General liability insurance, an increase of $889. Premium on corporate surety bond, an increase of $45. Trustee commission, this is the one I always hate to just have to even read, but we have no option. Trustee commission, an increase of $25,000. Workers' compensation insurance, an increase of $5,213. Travel for in-service and staff development, an increase of $186 for a change of a decrease of $117,923. Questions? Office of the Superintendent of Schools. Superintendent, an increase of $3,518. Secretaries, an increase of $2,859. Other salaries and wages, no change. Benefit package, an increase of $3,517. Dues and membership, no change. Postal charges, no change. Office supplies, no change. Travel, no change. Other charges, no change. Administrative equipment, no change. Increase of $9,894. Questions? Office of the Principals or Principals, an increase of $15,314. Career Ladder Program, a decrease of $5,500. Bookkeepers, an increase of $1,382. Assistant principals, an increase of $168,604. Secretary, increase of $20,515. Clerical personnel, a decrease of $6,833. Other salaries, $4,000. Benefit package, an increase of $98,114. Other supplies and materials, an increase of $607. Travel, an increase of $3,000. Administrative equipment, no change. Totaled for the Office of Principal, an increase of $299,203. Questions? Ms. McClain.
I wanted to talk a little bit about the dean position that we're discussing. Can I have an example of what the dean might do, or an issue that the dean might take care of that our current staff is dealing with?
I'd be glad to give you that. Actually, and I'll start out by letting you know that I've lived that world. I mean, I was at Jefferson for several years, at Robertsville. A lot of it just has with allowing us to be in a position to be proactive rather than reactive. Doing that job for several years, I personally feel we're just asking too much of two individuals. It is way too common, and really the norm. The other day I made a comment to Mr. Cox, so I guess you get there You know, 6:45, 7 o'clock, he said, I get there at 6:15. It's not uncommon for them to leave, honestly, 5:30, 6 o'clock. We're asking our individuals to work most, I guarantee you, a 10-hour day is probably the least amount we ask them to work, and it's not uncommon to work 12 hours, 13 hours, and I'm not talking about ball game coverage and concerts, just to get the job done. But basically, this is what they would do, or this is the reasoning. When you've got two individuals, for instance, if you have a serious situation, such as, let's say something involves drugs, nudity, weapons, that can tie up an administrator for an entire day. Sometimes the investigation can honestly lead into the next day. If it's serious enough, it may actually involve both administrators. So one thing this person would be able to do is, as the head principal or the assistant principal is dealing with something that is that serious, that allows basically this third person to basically just deal with what we would call, just consider just day-to-day infractions or discipline referrals. Because a lot of times they're putting those issues on a back burner so they can resolve this main issue. So, and there are times that the volume of discipline referrals honestly requires three individuals to do it correctly. You know, I always prided myself, I could deal with referrals fairly quickly, get them in and get them out. But I truly was not able in all situations to give it the time that it required, because I knew if I wasn't careful, the next set of referrals or the next who knows how many referrals, I just would not be able to get to those that particular day. And it's really important to basically give referrals attention when they come to the office. So that would assist with that. And as I said earlier, just the opportunity to be proactive. You hear a rumor, you get information from a teacher, a parent calls in and says, this is the conversation or this is the rumor. Sometimes with two individuals, you're just so busy addressing what's happening in your building right now. Or perhaps you have a parent conference, you have an IEP meeting, you have an RTI meeting, you have an IEP meeting. I mean, all these meetings. But anyway, you have these things going on. And if you're not careful, sometimes before you can actually get those individuals in and have those conversations about these rumors, is there a potential danger? Is there a potential conversation about a potential student or a potential student action that's going to be negative and is going to wind up in a referral, that basically to have someone to take time to pull these individuals in and let's have a conversation. Let's talk about how they should be behaving. Let's talk about how they should respond. Let's talk about, hey, if this is the rumor, this is not a direction we would want to go. But basically allowing that person to once again be proactive rather than reactive. Take the time to assess the cause and the effect of the problem. And like I said earlier, sometimes it's so busy with two individuals, you really don't have the time necessary to have the conversation you should be having with the student who basically has been referred, or potentially even the students who have encouraged that student to do something they shouldn't do because we're so busy getting ready for that next referral, or in many cases, those next referrals are already on your computer and you know you have places you have to get. Visibility, if we can get a person to help out, once again, not just all referrals, but if we can just get another person on the administrative team. We heard in our math review, and we hear basically when we do our principal survey and when we do our culture survey, that the teachers want they want their administrators to do a better job in the area of visibility. And once again, when they're working 10, 12, 13, 14 hours a day, they're doing the best they can, but just the volume of traffic that's in the office, it's really not permitting our principals to be as visible as they should, and it makes a huge difference. If we can get those administrators, that would be the three of them, in and out of classrooms, you know, basically making comments to students who are doing good jobs, catching students in the hallway who are being a little bit too active, just to have a conversation with them, hey guys, let's calm down, you know, and basically just once again have the ability to be proactive rather than waiting till something bad happens and dealing with that. Build relationships. You know, it doesn't matter what you talk about, any line of work, it's just essential to build those relationships. Our administrators right now are having a difficult time finding the time to build relationships. Probably the closest thing they get would be during class change in cafeteria duty. And our principals try to get in the cafeteria every day. They try to get in the hall during class change, but once again, depending on what has taken place prior to that, that may or may not be happening. but our surveys and our math study, that the comments from our staff, it was very clear. They feel like we need a stronger or a higher level of visibility, not just middle schools, but also the high school. Teacher evaluations, they would also assist with that. The individuals who are hired for these positions, if approved, they will basically be trained with the state to be evaluators. And it really, we're doing our teachers, basically treating them the same manner we do our students sometimes. Yes, we're getting the evaluations in, but do we truly have the time to slow down and have a longer conversation, do a better job identifying strengths, have a better job of talking about areas of improvement, and basically what are specific things they could do to improve in those areas. And once again, like I said, I've lived it. Sometimes it's just, we've got to get this done, we've got to get it checked off, and we've got to move on. Let's see. Student support groups. You have the counselors who basically will have support groups for students, but in some cases, we have other support groups that this person could offer. One could be in the area of attendance. Because of working with truancy the last couple of years, our principals are not highly involved in truancy. And once again, it's not because they don't care. It's not because it's not important. But once again, you've got this fire over here and you've got a student not coming to school. That student not coming to school is not creating a disruption, even though they're missing school. So this person could truly, you know, start having a support group for those students having a hard time getting to school. Set up a support group to talk about bullying. I mean, it would just be unlimited. But once again, it goes back to having the ability to work with students before there's a problem in these groups. Parent contacts. Once again, they're just so busy. You know, our principals want to contact parents, but unfortunately, many of those contacts are only made out of necessity because there is a referral, there is a consequence, there is a suspension. To have a person in place, once again, you know, perhaps a child is having problems at home, to be able to take that time. And, you know, it would sort of be a mix sometimes between being an administrator, being a counselor, but, you know, perhaps get that parent in your office or get that parent on the phone and say, hey, here's how your child is feeling. You know, and we'd like to help you with that. And I will tell you, under the current model, the time just doesn't exist. Monitor student grades and basically address the student failure rate. I know that we have, you know, Mr. Cox, for example, I know he looks at the failure rate, he's looking at grades, but does he have time to sincerely pull in individuals and have those one-on-one relationships with students to encourage them to do their best? So basically, to answer your question, they would be helping with discipline, they would be helping with monitoring attendance, they would be helping with monitoring grades, and basically work with students to improve, could form some groups, increase the visibility in the hallways, help the evaluation system, which is extremely taxing. Our evaluation system is great that we use, but it just requires a tremendous amount of time, and basically would just allow, and I'll say this, and this is a little bit selfish on my part, even though I'm not there, maybe we could get our principals down to a 10-hour day. And compared to what they're working, I think that would just be the right thing to do. And once again, I've lived it, folks, and I'm fast-paced and I work hard. There at the end, it just became so much to do. I also look at turnover. Yes, we have our thoroughbreds like Mr. Cox. He's going to stay with us. He's going nowhere. But to find individuals willing to work that hard every day, year after year, we're experiencing that in Robertsville right now. And if you were to ask Mr. Adams today, please be honest with us, why did you decide to go another direction? And he'll tell you, it was just too much. He loves this town, he loved that school, he loves this community. But basically, and he had other things he's working on too, but still, it was just too much. And I think what we're asking our individuals to do, and I always felt selfish asking for that when I was a principal at the middle school level. I thought, this is all about me, I don't want to ask that. But I have seen that as a need for a long time. And when I came to this position, you know, and once again, working with Mr. Cox, working with Mr. Adams in the past, it's just something that I feel strongly we need to do. With that said, I would like to ask Mr. Hobby. He's lived both worlds. Actually, he's lived a lot of worlds. High school teacher, Secret City Academy, Robertsville Middle School assistant principal. Now he works at Woodland. He was scared to death I was going to ask him to go back. Okay, so anyway, but I'll let him share with you his perspective, because once again, this is not about him, but he can tell you what he has witnessed.
I appreciate you asking me to speak, and I'm not going to go over some of the things that you already covered, but I will start by saying that 12 to 13 hour days at the middle school was the norm, and that was before sporting events and before after school programs. When you get referrals come in, if you have a student enrollment of 700 students, even a 1.5% to 2% rate, you're talking about 10 to 14 students. So after you investigate every one of those instances, your day is gone. So basically, you can't start what you do until after everybody has left the building. To give you another idea, a middle school in Knox County with roughly the same demographics and the same enrollment will traditionally have one head principal and 3 to 4 assistant principals. Okay, that is a huge difference than our model. A huge difference. And please keep in mind that that was before the observation model came into effect. So I think we ask a tremendous amount of our middle school principals. I think they do an amazing job with what they have, but their quality of life suffers from what we're asking them to do. Do you have questions for me? Yes, sir.
The one question to clear up, and I don't doubt what you're saying, why dean of students instead of another assistant principal?
You know, that's the title that basically 2 years ago, when Mr. Adams and Mr. Cox basically made a budget proposal requesting those positions, that's just the title they gave them, because they want the person, you know, let's, in most cases, the assistant principal at a middle school is sort of the hammer, okay? That's the tough guy. Mm-hmm. By golly, he gets it done. We wanted a person who could serve in more capacity, so have a title that's a little bit kinder. In other words, to be more proactive and not just deal with issues. And and out of all the conversation that we've shared with you, or the facts, we have not mentioned being an instructional leader. And a superintendent told me once, and it wasn't Dr. Borchers, he met me for the first time in Anderson County. He said, "I'm not looking for managers." He said, "Managers are a dime a dozen. I want an instructional leader to be the principal of my school." And that sounded great. I can tell you in all honesty, I attempted to be an instructional leader at Jefferson. I attempted to be an instructional leader at Robertsville. You can't be an instructional leader with one assistant. There is not enough time in the day to be the instructional leader that we need to get our academics going the direction we want them to go. And it's just that important that you have that person to work with your staff. We've got to give our head principals some more help if we truly want to have an instructional leader.
Okay. And guys, I can honestly say that after moving to the elementary school, my stress level has been reduced by 75%. So please leave me where I am.
And with that said, Mr. Hobby would go where we ask him, which I appreciate.
Absolutely, I would.
But if he has a preference, he's staying at Woodland.
Ms. Agle.
Well, looking at some of the information that was provided a week or two ago, the discipline referrals are not equal at the middle schools, even though the enrollment is pretty similar. It's a huge difference. It's lopsided. So by adding the same position at both middle schools, how do we address that discrepancy? It's clear that there is a different population at one school than the other. So it appears to me that there's a much greater need at one school than the other. How do we address that?
Mr. Lay is going to jump in, but I would like to say something first of all, that when we had the math program reviewers come in, they reviewed all three of our secondary schools, and these are external reviewers. They're not people from Oak Ridge or even Tennessee who came in. And the middle school that had fewer referrals was considered to be a well-oiled machine, like very clean, very, kids are well-behaved, kids do what they're told to do. But because the administrators were working so hard to get that done, as Mr. Lay just said, they didn't have the time to be in the classrooms doing the instructional leadership that was requested. I think there has been a unique situation at the other school this year, but I want everyone to kind of understand that even when all of the discipline is going the way it should, it's taking all of the capacity of our administrators, and they're unable to do some of the other things that they would like to do for that reason. So I'll let Mr. Lay continue this.
And I would be the first to say that the amount of discipline referrals at the one middle school are way too high. But with an effective leadership team, I think you'll see those come more in line. I know that the time that I was there with Mr. Adams, very solid team, and then also when Mr. Adams was there with Mr. Hobby, there was a tremendous decrease in discipline referrals. We saw the numbers going the right way. If we can get them the amount of help that they really need to do the job correctly, get consistency in that administrative team, and once again, I think you'll see the two schools come in the line. But once again, when you look at the math review, it was all so positive at Jefferson. But at the same time, teachers still noted a lack of visibility, and that's because the administrative team is spending all their time putting out fires, dealing with, you know, just situations principals deal with. And if we once again want to have a true academic leader, we need to give them some help so we can do that. My one recommendation too at the middle school with the high referrals, it just hit me during the interview process of basically selecting a new principal at that school. I did not have a school-wide discipline, and this is sort of chasing rabbits in the weeds, okay, but I did not have a school-wide discipline program in place. So when I left, one of the disciplinarians left. Then there was Garfield, and we were, you know, pretty like-minded, okay. Well, then when Mr. Adams left and Mr. Hobby had already left, basically there went the disciplinary plan. So I've already shared with Dr. Renegar that one thing that I feel strongly needs to happen, there needs to be a discipline program at Robertsville Middle School. There needs to be a program, and it really would benefit Jefferson as well, but especially at Robertsville, to where every staff member has buy-in, students have buy-in, it is communicated well with the parents. And that way, if you have a change in administration, the plan doesn't walk out the front door. There's something there that is in place. So I feel strong that it has to happen. And I keep hearing the two communities and I guess those years ago when I went from Jefferson to Robertsville, I expected greater diversity than what I received. It really is not as great as the numbers would indicate, which is why I will still go back and say it all begins with leadership. And currently we do not have an effective team. And you're never going to get the benefits, even when you have an effective team, you will not get the full benefits when you continually have a change in leadership. And that was the only negative to me coming in this position, it made another change. And then once again, Mr. Adams left. So I think once again, we're seeing that there's just too much change in leadership. But at the same time, I feel strongly that both schools need that additional person to assist them.
So I think two questions. First question, a year from now, 2 years from now, what will be the top two or three things, excuse me, that you will be looking for to know that this was the right decision?
I would want to see, number one, when I walk through the school hallways or when I look at a survey results, that basically you can see a difference in the two schools right now as far as culture. So if I'm looking at Robertsville, I want those to match on the survey. But I would also want to see a decline in discipline referrals at both schools. I would want the survey to support that administrative visibility is adequate or strong in their building. Now, I want to quit seeing that we need more visibility. So those are the things I would look for. And even with, you look at what the counselors are doing sometimes on a larger scale, I would hope that really if I spoke with the counselors, we're more of a team now with the administrative team because they've got time to work with us on these lower level issues rather than always working with the higher level issues. So basically, overall better culture. I would also be nice to have a principal's meeting this time of the year and not look at my middle school people and think, bless their hearts. It's just all over their face. It's, and they're not complainers. I tell you what, they have never complained once, okay? But I would also want to look at them and see people just a little bit more rested. And it'd be nice to pass Robertsville on the way home. When I leave here sometimes 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, 6:30, and see the parking lot empty and know that our principals actually got to go home and enjoy their families. So some of the things I would look for. So.
And I would agree with you. I would hope everyone's quality of life would improve, but as I think about the way you've described the impact, my assumption is if you can divide the work, establish more visibility, that visibility then drives the cycle downward, right? That
yes.
Visibility of positive leadership is going to create less incidents that you have to deal with in the first place.
Yes. And one other point that I forgot was on my mind, the evaluation system. We always see in the survey, you know, I received good feedback, effective feedback, however it's worded, for my principals on the evaluation system. I would like to see the percentage of people who agree with that or strongly agree with that increase, because once again, at this point, sometimes we're just checking off a list. Let's get it done. So, okay. Yeah.
So my part B question is, what's the reasonable timeline to begin to see those results? Because I understand that if they work, it should get better and better and better, but at what point should we expect to see improvement?
October, November. I mean, if it's working, we will see immediate reduction. You know, for instance, and once again, not here to beat a dead horse, but just the number of fights that we've had this year at the one middle school. Folks, my second year there at Garfield, now we prided ourselves. We made it till April, if I remember correctly, before we had the first student fight. And we only had that because of Mr. Adams. He sent some student down the sidewalk to do something, and the child got in a fight walking down the sidewalk. So I blame that on him. Okay, so anyway, but seriously, I mean, you know, it's happening way too often because, once again, we don't have effective leadership. But it also, to me, it supports where we're trying to go. The individuals we have there are good individuals. They care about Robertsville. They want to do the right thing. It's just overloading. It's just really more than two. You've got one who is inexperienced, and you've got one that's not been a head principal. So both are lacking experience in their current positions. And it's just a lot to do. It's just, like I said, and some people, depending where they come from, they've had that experience. But anyway.
Thank you.
Yes.
Okay, thank you for that good information. We move next to fiscal services, I believe, yes. Director, a decrease of $31,089. Accountants, an increase of $73,971. And I would anticipate those numbers there. Dr. Borchers emphasized some reshuffling and moving around in that area. Purchasing personnel, increase of $2,095. Secretaries, a decrease of $41,407. Clerical personnel, a decrease of $1,841. Other wages and salaries, decrease of $5,175. Benefit package, an increase of $19,614. Software, decrease of $2,789. Travel, $2,000, decrease. Other contracted services, a decrease of $1,067. Other supplies and materials, no change. Staff development, no change. Other charges, banking fees, no change. Administrative equipment, no change. Total fiscal expenditures, $10,312 increase. Questions? Ms. McLean.
I had questioned Pat on the banking fees, and I question every year the banking fees. She sent me a great email that I'm going to forward to you all that explains what we're getting for our buck here, and it seems like it's a pretty good bang for the buck.
Anyone else? Thank you. Human Resources. Director Supervisor, an increase of $1,661. secretary, it's an increase of 417. Clerical personnel, an increase of 1,740. Other salaries and wages, decrease of $15. Benefit package, increase of 749. Advertising, increase of 2,585. Data processing services, a decrease of 2,858. Travel in district, increase of $100. Other contracted services, no change. Office supplies, no change. Travel for staff development, no change. Other charges, no change. Administrative technology equipment, no change. Total human resources, an increase of $4,379. Questions? Operation of plant supervisor, an increase of 1,746. Secretary, an increase of 595. Custodial personnel, an increase of 44,332. Benefit package, an increase of 34,821. Communication, an increase of 2,000. Rentals, no change. Disposal fees, an increase of 9,450. Other contracted services, an increase of 8,240. Custodial supplies, no change. Electricity, a decrease of $141,711. Fuel, a decrease of $286. Natural gas, an increase of 6,700. Water and sewer, an increase of $2,800. Other supplies and materials, decrease of 16,214. Boiler insurance, an increase of 235. Building and content insurance, an increase of 4,850. In-service staff development, no change. Plant operation equipment, a decrease of $5,500. Total for operation expenditures, a decrease of $47,941. Questions?
Just a congratulations to Mr. Thacker.
Alan, I probably could do this, but since I'm a little lazy, I'm going to ask you because I know you've probably already done it. Our energy savings that we anticipate to save over this budget year is approximately what?
The anticipated savings for this year is roughly around $250,000 to $500,000 range. We've already seen $17,000 energy savings in the first month this year. So that was what I came up with last month, and that's just on partial installation of some of the materials that they've done.
No questions? Malin? All right, thank you. Thank you. That would probably be a good item, Dr. Borchers, to have in a slide when we go to City Council, particularly with the aspect of we wanted to do more, but look what we've done and look what's happening, and if play the if game a little bit, if we had done more, how much more would we have been saving? So that would be a good item to have in that presentation. Maintenance of plant, supervisor, increase of 682, secretary, an increase of 595, maintenance personnel, increase of 22,295, benefit, increase of 22,398, communicate, there's nothing there, maintenance and repair services building, no change, Maintenance and repair services equipment, decrease of $4,571. Maintenance and repair service vehicles, an increase of $5,572. Other contracted services, a decrease of $36,600. Equipment and machinery parts, a decrease of $15,657. Gasoline, increase of $5,000. General construction materials, no change. Software, an increase of $18,300. Other supplies and materials, no change. In service and staff development, no change. Other, a decrease of $5,000. Administrative equipment, an increase of $2,200. Maintenance equipment, no change. Maintenance, there's nothing there. Well, yes, there is. Maintenance vehicles, a decrease of $39,000. Total maintenance expenditures, a decrease of $23,785. Questions? Transportation. Contracts with other agencies, an increase of $33,264. Diesel fuel, a decrease of $10,454. Software, a decrease of $17,340. Vehicle and equipment insurance, an increase of $754. Bus replacement and purchase lease is in a different accounting. Transportation equipment, increase of $3,600. Total transportation, an increase of $9,824. Ms. Angle.
When we visited transportation, we talked about and saw a preview of an app that they had available for parents. And since we have a decrease in software costs, do we know if we're going to be able to go that way this year or not?
Yes, we have already purchased that, actually sent the PO out last week, and we're purchasing that out of this year's budget. So that's why it's not in next year's budget.
Very good. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Preschool program teachers, an increase of $24,216. Teacher assistants, a decrease of $10,929. Substitutes, decrease of $12,000. Benefit package, a decrease of $906. And we look down to other supplies and materials, a decrease of $381. And total for the preschool program is $450,795. That's no change. Questions? Preschool program general fund support. Principals, an increase of $2,028. Teachers, an increase of $19,778. Secretary clerical, an increase of $3,612. Teacher assistants, $7,684. Custodians, an increase of $7,814. Other salaries, an increase of $16,979. Substitutes, an increase of $7,000. Retirement package, increase of $14,557. Contracts with other agencies, an increase of $19,626. Other contracted services, an increase of $10,000. Diesel fuel, increase of $74,000. Total for preschool program from the general fund support is an increase of $109,153. Questions? Lisa, when we visited, you probably showed this to us, but that's been a little while ago. And this is not impacting anything here, but it's just kind of come to my mind as a question. Simply because we are seeing additional money to come out of the general fund for support of the preschool, and we may know this, over the last several years, how are we seeing an increase in that? I know we are seeing an increase, and I don't need a specific number, but would you say that it's a significant increase every year?
What we have tried to do is do it in pieces. So for the past few years, we've taken, for example, we took busing and we moved that from federal to general fund, and we shifted a couple of positions last year. We shifted a couple of positions this year. We're getting to a more sustainable level now with our reallocation of federal funding to include the elementary schools. I feel like we're in a pretty good place after this budget, FY19, to move forward, and that's what I've also heard from Kelly Williams. So I think that we've pretty much covered the majority of our transition at this point.
So this is basically, Head Start told us you have to spread out your Title I funding. You can't just funnel it all into one school. So we kind of spread it out through all the elementary schools, and that meant that the general fund had to pick up some of the difference at the preschool, right?
You're about 80% correct. But it wasn't Head Start who initiated that. It was actually federal programs from Title I. Our Title I program said basically that Title I funding is generated K-12, and if you are using the funding for preschool, then you need to show how that goes up into K-12. So previously, we were just doing the Willowbrook, but not all of our preschool students are zoned Willowbrook. So if we're going to be using Title I funding for our preschool, we need to make sure that any of the elementary schools that our preschoolers go to are served through Title I. So that's how it kind of became a pre-K-4. It actually didn't have to do with Head Start.
Capital outlay, consultants, no change. Engineering services, no change. Debt service contribution to primary government, $287,205. Building improvements, a decrease of $54,687. Site development, no change. Total for capital outlay is an increase of $232,518. Questions? Ms. Hagel?
The debt service is our part of the ESCO project. Okay.
Debt service principal, increase of $12,832. Debt service interest, a decrease of $12,832. No change. Total debt service. Operating transfers. One in there is the transfer to the Family Resource Center through Fund 145. And there is an increase there of $2,348. And by my notes, that brings us to the end of expenditures. Any additional questions? Wednesday will be the public hearing, and that's what we would do first. After the public hearing, then that takes us into first reading of the budget, and that would be a time if you have recommendations or changes, that would be the time to bring them forward to the board, and then we would move forward from there. Dr. Borchers, comments?
Again, if there are other questions, I know, Laura, you had some, but we also had some last week as well. So as many of those questions we can get answered or be prepared to answer Wednesday, please send those to myself, and we'll get those answers right back to you.
Comments or questions from the board? I appreciate each of you in the audience that made the effort to be here tonight. This is not the most exciting thing that we ever do by any means, but it is something that in our budget deliberations sets us apart a little bit, and we feel it is important to take a look at how we're spending the money, because that is a responsibility that we obviously take very seriously. And we don't want to give Pat any heart palpitations by just going somewhere and not understanding where we are going and how we're going to get there. So we appreciate that. Hearing nothing else, we're adjourned till Wednesday.